You know, you talk about teenagers, and we have a kind of a sister circle here, if you will, a number of my colleagues and I, as we navigate through this parenting thing with our, particularly our teenage sons, who begin to, as my mother used to say back in the day, begin to smell themselves. And the challenges of motherhood and dealing with teenage boys is truly awesome.
Yes. May God bless you.
Yes. Truly, truly awesome. Any advice for mothers? Because, you know, one of the things that we always hear, and was having a conversation with a girlfriend of mine recently, we hear a lot of times the old saying, you know, you love your sons and you raise your daughters. What does, first and foremost, what does that mean? Have you ever heard that term?
I have
You
heard that
you heard
term.
and why is it that we so-called do that, if you will?
I don't know. To be candid, as I'm listening to it, it sounds like a bit of, you know, it sounds like a bit of mother wit that simply doesn't work anymore. That's for one thing. I mean, on another level, I think it has to do with how we socialize our boys. I heard T.D. Jakes once say that when he gets sick, all right, then everything in the world stops.
Right.
Okay, everything in the world stops. Okay, he said he wants his chicken soup, and he wants his wife bringing him chicken soup. He wants his mother on one hand and his daughter on the other. Okay, he said now when his wife gets sick, she acts like she just pushes right on through. Okay, then right, he said now he said now understand. You know, who was it who taught us to value ourselves when we get sick? It was our moms. And I, as a son, I can very much attest to that. Okay, when I got sick, yeah, it was the chicken soup. I had my Winnie the Pooh or Snoopy or whatever, and mom was taking care of me. But now when she got sick, okay,
Kept
it
going.
was time to, yeah, it was time to be the Iron Woman. I mean, until she got really sick one time, and my father was like, okay, you need to sit down and let me handle some business. I think that that's where that comes from, the whole notion of in society, sons being celebrated in a different kind of way and giving certain indulgences that we don't get to our daughters. I mean, because the whole notion of love your sons and raise your daughters, it's like, okay, that's kind of socializing a double standard in the households. Because, you know, where in some households, you know, the daughter's held really very tightly and the son's allowed to run rampant. The problem is he's probably going to be out there with somebody's daughter. So come now. I mean, if it, you know, the way I see it, you know, when my wife and I are blessed with children, anywhere my daughter doesn't need to be, I'm betting her brother doesn't need to be there either. So you both need to have your hind parts at home.
Right.
Not okay, well, son, you can just do your thing because I figure you can handle it and your sister can't. No, okay, because death is no discriminator of gender, nor is danger. So understanding how to speak to our sons so they can make the kind of intelligent, discerning choices we want our daughters to make too.
Well, you know, one of the things that I always find interesting is that, again, as you just said, we do have those double standards. We tell our sons, well, you know, you can come in at 2, and we tell our daughters who are the same age,
right,
you need to be in by 11 or
12.
Because my son can't get pregnant, but my daughter can. And my son certainly can get another child pregnant, but then we have parents who say it's not my daughter.
Right. I mean, and I think there's a kind of self-defeating hypocrisy in that. I mean,
Absolutely.
when Brother Malcolm was alive, he talked about how fatherhood really is about responsibility. That any man can go out and get a woman and get her pregnant, okay? But that really what makes a man a father is his willingness to take responsibility. So again, going back to you know, I don't want my daughter to get pregnant. Well, look, I don't want my son becoming a father before his time. Why? Because to become a parent, and I know I'm just preaching to the choir right here, means to give up basically to give up all of your own aspirations for another person. They come into this world with no instructions, a bundle of nerves, and they really don't care if it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I want to play, change me, I'm hungry.
Absolutely.
All right. You have to have a certain maturity level to be able to deal with that. I like how the comedian Sinbad said it one time. He said, you know, all these teenagers out here, you think you're cool or you talk about your parents. Listen, your parents used to be cool before you came along, but it's hard to be cool, you know, at 3 o'clock in the morning and you're reading Winnie the Pooh all the time. They used to drive sports cars, and now they're driving SUVs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I mean, so wanting to get to, you know, wanting to get to a point where you understand, you want to understand that there are different kind of pressures and dangers that face our sons, mm-hmm. And that if we don't equip them to understand that, they can really complicate their lives. My father gave me a very simple piece of advice when I was a boy. I'll never forget it, Renee. I was about 16. I decided I was going to try and rattle my dad's cage about the sex question. Mm-hmm. And I said, "Well, Dad, you have anything to tell me about sex?" And he said, "Son, here's all I have to say. Do not get in the bed with a woman you wouldn't want to be the mother of your child." Mm. That's it. I said, "Really?" Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty much it. And that little nugget of wisdom helped me navigate through life. I'm not saying that I always made the best choices in the world.
Certainly.
But keeping that in mind, mm-hmm. Was important. And I think it's very important that it was my father who said that to me. Not to say it would have had the same impact had my mother said it, but understanding that in matters of sexuality, one must act circumspectly. Otherwise, you're going to create new problems. Like you were saying before about the holiday thing. Okay, so, yeah. I've overextended myself. Everybody's happy. Okay, now I've got all this huge credit card debt, you know, at an APR of 12.9%. Now I have new problems for the new year, and that undermines my ability to develop wealth.
Certainly.